I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This is Low Moon Outsiders and the story continues.
So this is Low Moon Outsiders, the first set. What is this month? August. We do play again, theoretically, in the month of August if we manage to do that. Hopefully we will. Tonight's session was sponsored in part by Divine Toledo Nursing and Rehabilitation, and they provided our snacks. And this is our devotional. It says in 1 Samuel 2:5, those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry ceased to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. Quite often, God is the reverser of fortunes. He can turn things around completely. I'm wondering whether or not God, in this infinite character trait, did not make a creation that furthers these reversals by its very nature. If so, then this verse could be not talking about miraculous intervention only, but also talking about just the way things work. That makes this kind of a proverb, then, about the way things reverse for some people, and quite often, a proverb of observation. Also, it could be possible that in here is the estimation that there are those who have it really good, and they are completely blessed, but they suffer for lack of receiving or honoring those blessings. How does one have so much and yet feel as if they have nothing? It happens all the time. The reversal of fortune is a major theme throughout Scripture, but also there are those who have a lot and are still scraping, still practicing sorcery to try to enhance their personal position or the quantity of their belongings, for example. It seems to me that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life never run out as a motivator to both receive more by any possible contriving and to discount the validity of the great blessings that we already have seen and received. That's our devotional for today. All right. So once last we broke, the outsiders were in what one would call the Western Pan Reach, north of Thrice Moon Protectorate, and south of Western Dulan. You had been partaking of the Long Night, wherein a segmented mass hobgoblin army was arranging sacrifices in preparation for a major conflict to take out a walled village in which all of the people of the surrounding lands had fled to that village as the hobgoblins approached. The party had been successful in taking out all but one of the sacrifices. They are also aware of the general location of the village, and have seen it from a distance and know that it is somewhat fortified. Man, seems like they're ready for trouble. They may or may not know that the attack was coming at dawn. Timing-wise, dawn is just about here. You probably have time with a very concerted effort to go after the last sacrifice or to make it to the village before any attack, to either warn them or participate in defending the village or whatever, but you had not cleared up what had happened. In the last session, you had pretty well cleared the way, and we didn't fully resolve it, but you pretty well cleared the way to return the wood spirit to her tree. And already you've seen the wooded area that was basically turning to death begin to return to life. And so you had successfully saved that huge patch of the wood, which was dying commensurate with her suffering. The part intervening, which will not be scripted, will not be actually played out, is two things of interest. So the Centaurs did show up and help the party with their last conflict, and it resulted in a pretty big fray, which I didn't require you to roll mortality or anything like that, but you've been successful. And we are picking the story up without adjusting character sheets. We're not changing how much hit points you took or how many spells you might have in memory or uses of items or anything like that. So we're picking the story up post-rescue of the wood spirit lady, post-return of her. She has offered, if you choose, to show you a way through to the village, which will get you through the forces that currently surround it. You will still have a bit of a mad dash at the end. Basically what it is it's just going to take you through basically a big crevice in the land that runs below eye level. And so you could get to the open ground outside the village, and the troops are all in the woods surrounding the village. And so from there you could make a mad dash to the city and should be able to make it inside without, you know, much more than some ranged attacks, and much more than some miscellaneous missile fire, if they even do that. Or you could make your way around the conflict because you're on the direct opposite side from the chieftain's forces. So the chieftain's forces, that was probably going to be the most difficult sacrifice to stop, because he's got the most variety and the largest number of troops. And so basically, as we pick up, you need to make a decision between those two options or something altogether different if you want. The only other thing that is of interest is that as you head out, whether it you're kind of on the verge of her area now and she is there and offering to point you through the crevice, basically, but you do see that a murder of crows is still watching the party. And they do not seem to be directly responding to her, nor did she acknowledge them when she saw them before. So you don't know that the crows are directly related to the wood spirit. Okay. Anything major that needed to be resolved that I might have forgotten? Questions anyone had? That kind of thing.
Did he befriend the crows?
I mean, I think he did befriend one of them, like animal friendship.
I mean, the crows were what led you to the hag.
Yeah. Yeah.
The old woman. Well, we have a woman considered uglier by definition, 12 them.
So what? So we're under the assumption that the sacrifice already happened?
No. The one sacrifice has probably not happened. And as I said, you have just enough time to get there to make a play to stop that sacrifice. It is the only one left. The upside of that is if you did manage to stop that sacrifice, you would probably stop at least the hobgoblin portion of the attack. You realize that it's a group of mixed forces. It's the hobgoblins who have the need to make the sacrifice. But it's not to say that the other forces that are involved would not proceed forward to attack, and they are numerous. But if you manage to stop the chieftain's attack, or the chieftain's sacrifice, then you would probably stop the hobgoblin from making their attack. It is possible. You're going to have to move. You're not going to be able to go through the middle, obviously, so you're going to have to go all the way around the outside or travel by some magical means, which I'm not sure you have. So it's either the sacrifice, stop the last sacrifice, which will probably take place pretty much at dawn or just before dawn as they move to attack. It's usually how that goes. Or go to the village, warn them that attack is coming at dawn, / prepare, whatever heroes do under those circumstances. Or a third course altogether.
You met up with that paladin, right?
That was going to be my question. I don't know that we'd ever, this pass through, have we found the paladin?
Reiki? Yeah. No.
He came in with the centaurs. He arrived with the centaurs, and they swept through the camp, and that was what ended the last fight.
Okay, that could be. I didn't remember for sure if I sent him with the centaurs or not. So, okay, so based on that, then we'll say, so if he was there, his suggestion, if you ask him on what to do, is that he wants to move toward the city to be there. And the centaurs will not go to the city.
Would the centaurs be willing to help us pick out the last sacrifice?
They might, like, offer one or two might go, like heroes or something, but they're not going to go as a group. It's too far. Yeah. It's well outside their normal area.
What effect is the sacrifices that we've stopped kind
of have? Well, what it's going to do is it's going to decrease the morale, and it may even cause some of those subgroups to not attack.
So it might reduce their forces, but at the very least it's going to reduce their morale.
Definitely. The problem is, unless they have some means, they're not communicating about the sacrifices. So the chieftain is probably assuming that the others have completed their sacrifice. The closer ones, he may have gotten word that they did not.
But if that word doesn't get out from the troops,
which you can figure, he probably. Politically, he might try not to let it get out.
So if we truly want to, I don't want to say eliminate, but truly weaken their forces, we have to take out the last sacrifice. Otherwise, they will be weakened, but still likely to participate in the attack.
Even with the last sacrifice dealt with, there's no guarantee the Hot Goblins would even get worried in time to break morale.
However, if the chieftain doesn't attack, then at the very least they'll be less organized.
And that does have attacking the sacrifice has a positive side effect, and then you could also put the chieftain down. Whether we stop the sacrifice or not, there's presence, I'm sure, is part of what's keeping us together. So a force of this size, there has to be someone else. Especially the hobgoblin people commanding other than human races, but I've never seen it, not other than slaves.
You're having this conversation in the woods, dim light, it's the party, we'll say Reiki, couple of lingering in the area, centaurs, the wood spirit lady, basically thin, tall, green-haired adolescent female with raggedy clothes and no shoes, and then the crows watching out.
Or we can head to the city and make sure that they're prepared.
Right, he says, if you go after the sacrifice, you may greatly reduce the numbers that will be attacking or seriously strike their morale, but you will almost certainly not be involved in the fight at the village, or at least come late.
Not impossible.
And right, he already suggested that he would go to the village at least, so somebody could go with him.
He's sending one or two faithful individuals, which I believe all of us are. I think. We'll just look into the crows. Do you have any ideas?
A couple of them hop around on the branches and change their perspective and look at you, and one kind of cranes his head and looks at you, but they don't respond.
Not really. Well, here's my suggestion. I think Reiki and Chiron go to the city, defend how you can Chiron, and save 1,000 lives if you have the chance. And the rest of us will go and disrupt the sacrifice, kill the chieftain, and return as soon as the tea is done.
I was going to suggest that you would go to the city, and I would go to save the sacrifice. I will do my greatest in healing anyway, so there is not as great need for me to be at present when the battle begins, unless they already have a bunch of wounded.
I'm not opposed to that. I do fare better against multiple opponents. I do... I am saddened to hear that I would not face the greatest foe, but it is a noble cause. I hope that you will do me justice.
I'm not even sure that's true, Chiron, is it?
Quite honestly, I would say the best chances to actually defeat the chief and the sacrifice would be both of you to do that. Rather than dividing up what is our most potent offensive.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
Not that, I mean, you are our most potent frontline fighters. You by no means are not capable, and you're better at distance. When it comes to conflict, you are all honestly more talented than I. Mind you, that doesn't take a great deal. I have a few tricks that I can play, but I don't think that I would be a major factor in success at the sacrifice. So, if there's a reason why we want to sort of split up and send on someone from the village, I would be more than willing to go with you all to deal with the sacrifice. Or, we all will deal with the sacrifices. One of you chooses to go to the village.
I'm going to the sacrifice. From the distance, too.
The girl says, it might be worthwhile to take into account the fact that fighting in the village may be a lost cause. Even without the hobgoblins, they may or may not survive. And if you're in there, if they die, you will die as well. Probably little chance of an escape. I'll stand my ground. It could be that we are their only hope. Your assistance will be welcome.
I will accompany you. You are to die alone in the open ground. I think you all will be better served back in the sacrifice from
from surprise and make you move quickly. I'm good at a charge, but I'm better.
I believe to run would be to be picked off piecemeal.
As opposed to hunted and slaughtered in their homes?
The wall gets substantial advantage once it is breached. I'm sure they have an interior perimeter to retreat to. But the swarm will be hard to overcome.
We can discuss the details as they arrive.
Yes, we may find that there are variables inside there that we currently have no knowledge of.
Well, the time has come. Fly with safety and effectiveness, and by Ares grace, may you lighten my load.
Yes, but I think it's worn off now. It was the whole during the whole get the lady, get the wood spirit back. The hag did.
We didn't.
Okay.
Speaking of which, we still have Serena.
That's right, the woman that. Yeah, that you came for. So what are you going to do with her? If they take her into the village, she's likely to die. If everybody else dies, she'll die.
I mean, she could go to where we had sent a few others and they had rescued to this point.
If you mention that, one of the centaurs will agree to take her there. Yeah, so one of the centaurs will take her back to the survivors. Okay, so if I get this correct, Lucas is traveling with Reiki through the crevice, and then they're going to make a dash for the town. And the rest of the party is circumnavigating the conflict to try to stop the chieftain's sacrifice. Right?
Correct.
Okay. The sounds of night do not end, although they tend to lessen wherever you travel. And you are mostly mounted. Did have horses. Some did not, some did.
I think we have enough.
I think you were riding with Chiron, is that not right? Or yeah, because he left you steering the horse and jumped off to fight the bad guys and then had to run to catch up. I remember the whole episode was pretty funny. Okay. Just as a side note, or in discussing the two possible plans, you know, realize that you'd probably be a little bit trepidatious about the go rescue the village plan, because inside there you probably can't turn into a dragon.
Yeah.
You could get trapped very easily. You could try to fly away, but if you try to fly away, then you're going to get a barrage of missile fire. They may have dragons in support. I mean, it does sound like a coffin. You know, it does sound like a dead end. Whereas out here, if things go poorly, you could always turn and fly away. So it's like you'd be giving up your escape route and your greatest strength. Okay. So, in light of the fact that you guys have chosen to go in two different directions, you will have two centaur guides that will take you through the wood on the most expedient route or to start to circumnavigate the hobgoblins and make it around to the area of the chieftain's sacrifice. And the wood spirit herself will take Reiki and Lucas part of the way,
and basically points you the rest of the way. And she takes you to the start of the crevice. And what you see is in the wood, it's kind of like the forest floor comes up from the right, and it comes up from the left, but they are not at the same altitude. And so there's a good 15-foot drop from the top of the forest floor here to the lower part here. And then there's a bit of a crevice down below that as well. So moving through that, from the right, you definitely would not be visible. From the left, you know, you have to kind of stay low. If somebody's over there, they could potentially spot you. But there is also brush and trees and like that. So it's pretty concealed. And she tells you that it's about a 8 to 10 minute walk from there to dump you out. And you can, even there, hear sounds of things in the forest. Hobgoblin voices, and the occasional animal, or it's probably like wargs. You think you hear some, like a booming voice, like maybe a ogre or a small giant. So you realize that, you know, there, if you went much further in the forest toward the village, you would run into those forces. So you and Reiki have horses, and you're mostly trying to keep them quiet as you move along the crevice. So the floor of the crevice is gravel and packed sand. And so as the horses walk along, you hear like a crunch, grinding noise under their feet, but it's not very loud. And then there is a stream, really a babbling brook kind of thing, that runs in the low part of the crevice. A few places you run into brush, like bush, that grows right out of the side of the mountain. And then there's a spot where on the left side of the crevice, about maybe a half mile or so down, you've been walking, you see ahead a tree that was on the left side of the crevice has fallen into the crevice, possibly in a storm or whatever. And then you can see a lot of life and brush, like a lot of green foliage and stuff growing out of it. So even though it's fallen over, it's very much alive and it has a lot of foliage to it. And it would be a pretty good place for an ambush. Because you can't see what you're getting into, basically. At this point, the two of you are moving alone. Are you in the front, or is he? He is human.
I'll be in the front.
Okay. You have your horse rein in your left hand, shield hand, and sword drawn. Do you have a magical sword that lights, makes light?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unless the early bastard sword doesn't, but I'm pretty sure it does.
I think it does, yeah. Okay. So you have a dim light, but it's not really enough to adversely affect your vision in any way. But if you put it right in front of your eyes, it probably would. Oh. And as you move forward, you're scanning the... And roll a d20.
8.
So you spot a number of smallish heat signatures. They're probably in the 3 to 4 foot tall range. They obviously have weaponry, see shield, sword edge, that kind of thing. And they are mostly in and around that tree. And then you can see like part of one sticking. So the crevice turns at that point, and just past the rock, you can see part of one sticking out. And then some distance further down inside the crevice, you can see another one, and he's just crouching down behind a boulder. But you can see most of him, probably 80%. So you can spot 6 of them. And as you spot them, you hear Reiki say softly, "Trouble ahead." Do you continue forward?
So hold up.
Yeah.
Brain is heavy. Right?
If it gets loud, it'll spread. Take out the first couple, maybe 4, without a sound. Can you see how many there are? Ready your bow. I may be able to give us a slight advantage in keeping the sound down. Once the fight starts, target any that try to run from the area.
Don't
Sheathe the sword, draw the bow. It's a long bow, so it's kind of hard on horse.
Yeah, we won't mount unless we have to run. If the sound escapes the area, we may as well. Problem is, I don't think in the crevice or on the ground of the forest outside we're going to have much chance to run the horses anyway. Probably just have to run the length of the crevice on foot and then mount as soon as we can.
Not impossible.
Can't afford to lame the horses right before the battle.
Can't afford to have a hobgoblin party come down in the neither. Hope it doesn't come
yet. I figure you and I together are probably good for 20 or 30. And if we just keep pressing forward to the opening.
Raise the bow.
Okay.
Knock an arrow.
So, yeah, we're going to get a little closer before we launch our attack. Okay, so you move to the point where you're maybe 40 feet from the center of the hobgoblin pack, and now you can see that there's probably 10 of them, maybe 12. And he raises his holy symbol. His blessings abound, blessings focused. Remove the sound. And he touches the fletchings of your arrow, and it gets quiet. Points to kind of the middle of the pack.
It's probably aim for a guy, huh? Okay, so we'll find someone roughly center.
Okay, so it's
without a lot of cover.
Range is short. So you can get two shots, the first of which is the silenced arrow.
13. At least
that's no problem. Damage?
4.
Okay, the arrow sinks into the midsection of the targeted goblin, and you take a second shot, I assume?
Yep. 18. 5 points.
Okay. At which point in time, Reiki dashes forward, sword and shield, and at first you hear him, you know, his armor clattering, his horse's hooves on the sand, etc. But as he gets within about 15 feet of the arrow, the sound disappears. None of the goblins make an immediate break to try to escape the area. They instead move to attack Reiki. So we go to an actual initiative round.
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
And you'll be first because you have bowfire.
Okay. So I will start with the goblin that's furthest away from me.
Okay.
That is
still short range.
And 8. What do you have?
Still hits.
1 and 6.
Okay. You get 2 wounded, 1 and heavily wounded, 4 killed, 1. And the hobgoblins throw hand axes on the way into combat.
Goblins.
And the hand axes pretty much bounce off of Thryke's armor and shield with no noise. A couple of them physically leap onto him and begin to try to like penetrate his armor. Kills 2.
Is he not getting an attack every second?
Not this round. He wasn't. Bad to start. Okay. Alright. And then, so basically, he kills 2, and then you think they may have gotten a couple of penetrations, like in the chinks of his armor. But basically the remaining 6 goblins, of which a couple look like they already have arrows stuck in them or like were scratched by an arrow or that kind of thing, you recognize that, are either on him or like close enough that they can attack him. We'll go to the new round. So now none of them are trying to break away. There is a chance, because you're firing it immediately, if you miss, that you would shoot him.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Okay.
Let's start with the guy that I injured.
Okay.
14.
Okay.
points.
All right, he goes down.
13, 2 points on another one.
He was also injured and goes down. So that leaves 4. And right, he kills 3 of them, leaving 1 to attack him. He misses, and then he kills the last one. Okay, so the goblins are dead, and the area is still silent.
Okay, I'll recover the arrows as I can quickly. Pretty much the ones I can yank out of goblins, which would be all of them, because I only hit. Not going to take my time.
Okay. So you fired 6 shots, right?
Correct.
1 arrow did not actually stick and flew on past. 5 did stick. Of the 5 that stuck, one is broken.
So I get 4 back.
Yeah. I'm checking to see if it happens to be the one that is. It is not. So one of your arrows does have the silence on it, and it was one of the ones that was stuck and is not broken.
Okay.
So the silence will last for a while yet.
I'll retrieve it, and then we're on our way. Unless anything, while I'm grabbing the arrows, do I notice anything weird about the goblins?
Not really.
Just a hunting party.
I mean, they were probably stationed in the crevice to stop this very thing, or... like they may have been hunting for themselves to feed themselves or whatever.
Yep, going on.
So the horses respond poorly to traveling with the silence on them. So I need you to make a horsemanship roll to try to control your horse.
28.
Okay, so you manage to do so. You basically hold it by the bridle rather than the reins. That does mean that you will not be able to have a weapon or a shield in that hand. So you're going to have sword and bridle or shield and bridle, but not all three.
All have sword in
front of. Okay. Yeah, Reiki does the same. He shifts his shield on his back, and he has to forcibly detain the horse as well, or restrain the horse as well. And it doesn't get better, because you're taking the silence with you and walking through a bloody goblin mess. You take the bend. You see that the crevice shallows going forward, and it looks like you've got about 1/4 mile left. And you can see a large something sitting on the edge of the crevice right toward the end, like dangling its legs over the right-hand side. It is outside in vision range, but you can tell that there is some heat there, some kind of a creature there. It's got to be at least a hobgoblin because it's pretty big.
Okay.
You did not see a lot of people, a lot of beasts around. However, it looks like he's the only heat signature between you and the open field.
I almost wonder if bringing in silence would be out of it. Do you have an opinion on that?
I mean, yeah, he thinks having it's better than not having it.
Okay, that's fine.
It's not, so unless you get close to somebody, they're not necessarily going to like notice a change in the surrounding area, because there still would be plenty of cricket noise. They might notice a minor decrease, but it wouldn't be a lot.
Yeah.
Then it would keep the sounds of you moving down. So that would be good. Even so, you theoretically can get fairly close to that individual speaking from an audio point of view. Whether or not they might spot you is still an issue. All right. So as you are moving down through the crevice, you get to be about 120 yards from the where the guy is. And so he's taken a little more shape. And he's big, probably bigger like a troll than a hobgoblin. But at that point, he gets up and walks away from the crevice. So he basically turns and goes in the direction of his back, which to you would be the city is straight ahead. So he's heading off into the woods that way. The only things you have direction sense or navigation?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know... the village, the open ground of the village is directly ahead of you. You know that the party has not been really directly on the other side of the village, but you know that the chieftain's encampment was to the other side of the village, to the right, which would be northwest of here.
This is the direction that he was going?
No, he went due north, and you're talking about a pretty big distance.
Yeah.
So the open field is a couple miles across, so it's farmers' fields and like that for the village. So if he was headed up there, he'd be, if he was not across the middle, he'd have like a 5-mile journey.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so you manage to move along the crevice, and now the two of you are at the edge of the open field. The crevice is here are only like 4 feet deep, and so bushes and trees and stuff are hiding you a little bit. Also, you notice that the tips of the mountains in the far distance, so past the village, past the forest ahead of you, you can see tips of mountains, and the tips of those mountains are lightish in color, as if sunrise is imminent in the east, which is behind you. It's still dark here, dark on the open plain, dark in the city, or the town, rather. Okay? So, Reiki pulls his horse forward to the edge and checks the saddle, makes sure that the strap's tight, that kind of thing. And then, at that point, the silence 15-foot radius ends.
Okay.
And says, we may be the subject of missile fire as soon as we break from the woods. I suggest we go at the same time and go hard. You can see from here that there is a road just south of you, about like 100 yards or so. It's just really a dirt track, but it would be better than the open field. And the grasses in the open field are high, like 3 feet, 4 feet, bent over, and then you can see corn stalks as you get closer to town.
Right.
Are we making for the road?
Yep.
Okay. And meanwhile, elsewhere.
No, okay. So
good timing, then.
I was waiting to get out of my seat here.
Okay, but can you grab that fruit and slide it this way? Can you slide that fruit this way, James?
Hmm?
Slide the fruit over here. I'm going to snack on the fruit. Snacking on the fruit provided today by Divine Toledo.
Thanks, guys.
Wow, that's a huge
chunk of pineapple. Oh, it's more than one chunk. Be careful, it's deceiving.
Right, that's you.
That's the same problem I had. It's still a pretty big chunk, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two centaur heroes and the party starting northward out of the reviving wood, and you're going to be in the woods for a little bit, the first like a quarter, half mile, and then you're going to be in an open area, then you'll be in another wooded area, and you know you're basically arcing out and around trying to get into the area of the chieftains, like where they're rallying. Okay? Okay. The two of them both will split up. One will go in front, one goes in the back. And one did, yet another one did take Serena to the pre-described location of where she can be safe.
Which, didn't we or did we not find her husband?
Did not.
So, he is still...
No, she found us.
The first time you guys found her husband, but not the second
time. Second time
she found her. You guys redid it.
We redid the fight after the time reversal.
She did the stopwatch. Okay.
I don't know that we knew for sure he was because we didn't find his body.
No, she said he was.
Yeah.
But you never found him. Okay. Moving quickly through the forest goes well. Out onto the open plain. High grasses pass behind you rapidly. Looking out to the left, which you're seeing several miles, mind you, you can see a relatively large group of what are probably hobgoblins. They're organized because they're a big military group. They have banners flying. But it's dark. It's still nighttime. The eastern sky, which would be to your right, is faintly light. That's where you're at right now. Ride checks. Okay. So you make it out across the open plain. As you're crossing the open plain, you realize that there is a dirt road that meanders through, and you're actually crossing the road. You don't want to turn left on it because that'll be heading into the conflict, but you're heading to the woods on the other side of it. But on that road is the remnants of a caravan. There are two wagons. They're burnt out. They're no longer smoldering. There are bodies laying around. Looks like maybe 10 to 12 dead. And most of them have thick, black-shafted arrows sticking out of them. And for the warriors, I guess we probably could, at least all three of you, you realize these are probably taken out by hobgoblins. The one that strikes you the worst is that there is a boy who's probably maybe 12, 13 years old, sitting on the seat of one of the wagons, and he has two arrows in his chest pinning him to the seat. So he is not in a gentle repose. He is skewered to the seat of the wagon.
He was targeted at the beginning.
Probably. Or trying to get away, maybe. No horses at the caravan, just the wagons. Unless you're approaching closer and trying to check it out, you don't really know where they cut free or broke free. Or... What's that? They tend to be, yeah, they tend to be a little cruder than human craftsmanship. They might be a little less range. They might be able to do more damage at short range if you knew how to do it, like you're using a composite bow. Which the higher tech hobgoblins often do, use composite bows. Okay, so the point is, are we ignoring the caravan, basically? Is that the plan?
How close are
we? I mean, 50 yards. When you cross, it's on the road, when you cross the road, it's 50 yards up the road from you, in the direction of the conflict, which is about, the back of those forces are about 2.5 miles. Okay, so we're reining the horses in that direction.
Yeah, and literally, I just want to get close enough to see if Richard shows any of them still warm.
Okay. Suspenseful music as you approach the wagons.
Okay. Just want to tell you.
Roll percentile dice. What do you say?
I said, I just want to tell you.
I know.
What'd you roll? I'm sorry. Okay. As you approach, you can tell that the wagon, the caravan was moving rapidly when it was attacked. So you're probably running. You also see that at the actual caravan site, like here, there are no dead hobgoblins or no one that looks like they weren't with the caravan. But it does appear that they left all of the bodies of the caravan, or nearly all of them, here. So they didn't carry them off for food or whatever, which is common, but they'll do that. Now, if you wanted to know if like anybody survived and walked away from the fight, or who walked away from the fight, you'd have to get out and actually look. You can see that much just as you're approaching. Okay, so you move up to one of the wagons, you're going to check and see, like, how long ago it probably took place. Is that the plan, James?
Yeah. Okay. Well, more just, is anybody just a lot of unconscious, but not really technical?
Okay. Okay. So, lying essentially in the back of one of the wagons that burned, but only the front, like two-thirds of the wagon burned, is what turns out to be an unconscious man. He's not dead. His legs are burned, and he's been shot by bow fire. And upon checking him, Kyle says he has a bad fever. He's not in good shape, but he's not dead. Yeah, so you check around the outside. Yep. It takes a minute or two, and you determine that everyone out, everyone that's outside the wagons is dead. Does anybody want to take a moment to do anything about the boy being steward to the seat? Like, at least lay him down or something? It's kind of... Okay. All right, so you have it unconscious. Or Chiron can do healing on the guy, and that might help a lot.
He's
taken
conscious.
Right. Which he does successfully. Okay. He is now on the verge of consciousness. And he mutters some, like, what happened?
Caravan was attacked. I take it you were trying to make it to the village?
Yes.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
Oh, it's too much to bear. Die.
I can give him a little bit of healing to at least get him moving.
I couldn't take the man back to our encampment. Nurse him to health. What say you? He looks at the other centaur. East, go. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Can you heal him some so he can ride? Yes.
You will be six healings. 4 points.
He is much better off. Yes.
He's a peasant, he might be a fool.
I mean, he is just... He is emotionally distraught, desolate. Just looks like his world has been crushed, but he does crawl half awake on the back of the centaur. He lays against the back of the torso of the centaur. The centaur just reaches around behind his back and holds him on. And then he wheels and trots off in the direction, general direction of the centaur forest. And Chiron says, "It is good. He would have died for sure had we not checked the wagons." Asclepius is pleased.
We should get back moving, though, quickly.
Okay.
There are many scales to balance today.
All right. So on the ground, there were some miscellaneous weaponry that was left from the fight. Arrows, a crossbow, a broken short bow, several shields, a couple spears. Basically, it was most of the equipment that the men were using to defend the caravan, apparently unsuccessfully. Anyone want any of that, or otherwise we're on our way? On the way. Okay. All right. You can't race through the woods because that's how you break a horse's leg. But you pick your way through the woods, you know, hoping not to run into any large force. It's still very dark here, very creepy, and you're kind of scanning the sides and so on. You come upon in this wood a place where the land is low, and it crosses your path, and you figure it's probably a wadi that is full part of the year, but currently it's just kind of mucky at the bottom, so you could easily cross it. But there is a stone bridge. The bridge is easily 10 feet wide. It only rises to be about 4 foot above the wadi, but it looks like pretty ancient construction and not in real good shape. There are cracks and loose stones in it and that kind of thing. You don't really have to use the bridge because you'll just be walking through kind of mucky ground is all. So are we taking the bridge over the mucky ground or just going to cross it?
Say we stay on the mucky ground.
It would require diverting about 50 yards out of the way to go to where the bridge is. No, probably not. I mean, as long as you go slow, it should be fine. horses are pretty much used to walking in mud, so it's really not an issue. Okay. So you cross the Wadi, pick your way through the rest of the forest. Now you're coming out into fairly open terrain again. No sign of any roads here, just high grasses, no farms, no crops, anything like that. And then ahead to your left, so knowing that you're trying to arc around, and the centaur is plotting the course, but knowing that you're trying to arc around to the left, there the forest is closer. Over here it's kind of like trailing off out and away to the right. Mm-hmm. So if you were going straight ahead, for example, it would be longer before you get in the forest than if you go this way. And he kind of cuts the middle road, and you start to cross the open field. Okay. The distance from one forest to the other is about a mile, and you're pretty much right smack in the middle of that. When looking to the left, you can see, again, at a couple miles away, in the dark night, in the high grasses, organized forces. You can see very faintly in the far distance a yellowish light that probably indicates the town. Right? It's in and amongst the rolling hills, but you can't really make out the town, but you can see yellowish light there. And you can see the forces that are only a couple miles away. They just look like silhouettes, like a big kind of clumpy square that has little sticks sticking up here and there and like that. But you can see that there are a gathered force of probably hobgoblins or something like that, an organized group anyway. And then a little bit further, when you're about three quarters away across the field, from the tree line ahead of you comes a barrage of arrows. And you do not see any, so it's about 180 yards still, so it's pretty far away. So we're going to do random. So let's see, we got you and Chiron on horseback, you're on horseback, you're on horseback, the centaur, that's it, right? Just 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 overall targets. And what comes in on your horse will be randomized between you, Chiron, and the horse. You're 1 to 2, he's 3 to 4, the horse is 5 to 6. 2 shots, and he gets one. So one on you is a miss, a miss, Chiron is a miss. Miss, miss. The horse is hit once. You're really targeting you, though.
Yes. He doesn't hit you.
One hit you. Take 4 points of damage.
Oh, my goodness.
The horse. Okay. All right, so that takes care of those. And now we're on to... Herrick. Even odd, even as you odd as the horse. Do them all at once.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You too can make the world a better place.
3 on you, 5 on the horse total. All 3 on you missed. And the horse is twice. Neither of which appear to be too severe. And then the centaur. It's just him. No.
Yes, it's horse.
Yes. He's hit once. Okay. So total, there were about 30 arrows or so that come in a volley. Just hear, like, in the far distance. And probably weren't, like, when they were lost, you probably weren't real sure what it was. And then all of a sudden, as they were coming in, it was like, oh, we're getting shot at. All right. What do you do? So they are at about 106 to 180 yards away. So they're not close, and you really can't see them. They're in the. They're obviously in the wood line. What do you want to do?
And we're in the open right now?
Correct. It is further back to where you came from and takes you away from your eventual result. Trying to get cover, you could try to go like left or right away from them, head to the trees, but not where they are. Either way, delay long.
I will say into them and I'm going forward.
Okay. He's charging forward.
Keep shooting us.
I'm going to veer off to the right.
Okay.
I want to see, but I don't get.
Yeah. So you, if they fire when you're actually looking at them, you can narrow their location down enough to shoot at them, but you'll have a minus four to hit if you can't see them. Once you can actually see them, it'll be better, all right? So in the next round, you're going out to the right. Chiron is charging toward them, and he just says, "Stay down. Let me take the brunt of it."
Okay.
All right.
I'm on the back. Can I have my bow drawn?
Yes. You wouldn't be able to use it on the horse, but you can have it out. You're going to have to get off to use it. It's a longbow, correct? It was a short bow.
It's a longbow.
Yeah. So longbows are really not, generally speaking, not usable from horseback.
Can I use this?
What is it?
Beacon.
Okay.
The shaft of the beacon,
instead of
tiny
clutch movement
activated, being shot
at
target,
and that's something that target is being targeted. Okay. Yeah, probably.
Or at least get a picture of
what I'm looking at. Yeah. And it will go off even if it hits a tree. If it doesn't hit a person, it'll still go off.
I will find a spot where I feel safe and I'll
let directly. Okay. Well, so you're out in the open. If you get down on the ground and like get down to one knee, that's probably the safest you can be, unless you can find some actual cover. This is high grass here, is all it is. Okay. I mean, you can use the horse for cover.
Good. I'm not good at the horse.
Yeah.
I'll jump off and get down on the knee, kind of make myself a small horse.
Okay. So they won't kill you before you get that off. So go ahead and roll to hit. I assume you're trying to shoot one of them.
I'm going to try to shoot one of them, but...
Okay, so as they fire, and you see the arrows kind of like come out, you can kind of guesstimate where they are, and then you can fire. Yep. Okay. So the arrow hits something. You're not sure it was a hobgoblin, but it does go off, and sparks begin to fly, and the whole area lights up with a kind of white light that has a little bit of a yellow fringe around the outside edge. It'll get attention. That's the downside. If there's anything else in the area, it's going to get attention. But you can definitely see silhouettes. You can see hobgoblins here and there, and they're kind of behind the trees, but they definitely don't have 100% cover. So you feel like you could probably hit them.
Do I have a general number?
Maybe between 10 and 15. Okay. Okay. I'm going to send you a text, Tommy. You may be one of the few that hasn't.
Those healing potions are really powerful.
I still have them
at one time.
I still have three of mine.
What? Three healing potions?
Three dice.
Three of the dice left.
Oh, gotcha. I used all mine. Things went sideways.
You have two texts. Tommy.
Okay. It's dark, right?
It's just pre-dawn, so it's gray.
That makes like human like more difficult.
Yeah, but not when you're once you're like face to face with something.
Oh, because I had a very fire.
So that will give a plus two to hit. Or
would I be able to? They
talk to
that and
so
take upon
them,
or they know that?
Oh, yeah. There's no effect that goes along with it.
I do
that
one.
Okay. Okay. Caitlin, roll a d20. James, roll a d20.
Seven.
Okay. Both of you notice a dove.
Is it a dove?
What is it?
Just while I was approaching the village,
area or just after?
Approaching.
So, yeah, you would be a dove.
Okay, so you see a dove solo fly across the area and then obviously redirect itself to kind of hone in on where the hobgoblins are. It's flying down toward where the hobgoblins are. Okay? And then we got a missile fire. So you're going straight at him. Chiron's going straight at him with you kind of hunkered down on the back. You moved out, dropped off your horse, and then it is as they fire that you fire. Okay? You can fire an additional... Are you 3-for-1 now or 2-for-1?
I think I'm 6.
Okay, you can fire an additional shot if you want.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Lean from the silhouette there. I don't know
where
1 is.
Yep. Okay. Maybe you really don't have to. We know what you're doing, and you wouldn't be attacking this round.
The one that we're literally
up with. 16.
I'm
a warrior. Huh? Or
WWE. That's more
pitching. We're going to break down pretty evenly probably now and fire. So Eric is charging down on them. So are you traveling forward at charge speed? So now your horse is
yeah.
Because sitting in the open is...
All right, so roll horsemanship.
There's a lot of shooting.
Trying to make sure that you're... Yep, trying to make sure the horse is not getting injured.
10.
Okay, no problem. And then you personally take 1 point of damage, and you have to roll horsemanship again to make sure you don't get loose in the saddle.
14?
No problem. Okay. On Chiron and Clume... So we got to figure out. So it's going to be riding down on them. So it'll be 1-2 the horse, 3-4-5 Chiron, 6 Clue. Okay. There are 3 possible hits. You get one of them, and that will hit you, and you'll take 1 point of damage. Okay. Chiron also appeared to have been hit. It didn't affect his. He stayed in the saddle, no problem, and he's charging right in their midst. And then the centaur. Okay. So. This round, all three of you will make the wood line. All three horses will make the wood line. And for that matter, assuming you had a weapon in hand and wanted to, you probably could attack at the end of the round. Not with the bow, however, you have to dismount.
Well, I shot my second one.
Yes. 16 is a hit.
Yeah, I'm just laughing. I've got Carl Lane. I need a storm.
Oh, dear.
Or do not.
That
reminds
me
of a high level of staticky air.
How about something that generates some electricity? I told you to talk and pick up.
Attacking one on the way by, hits. and the High Goblin like spins away from the throw and goes down. He may have been killed or otherwise just significantly injured. And then there is a Hobgoblin that's also in the trees, that's not far from you. And it suddenly begins to glow with a violet hue, and you can make him out very well. However, you would not be able to use your bow. So if you want to actually attack him in that moment, you would need to probably drop the bow. You can drop the bow, draw the daggers, and jump off the horse on him, or he's not literally right next to you, so you can't just swipe at him. You're not a big horse fighter, generally speaking, so getting off the horse before it gets too crazy is probably a good idea. Okay, so you'll be throwing the bow on the ground, drawing the daggers, jumping on the hot dog, basically. Okay, so make a dex check for me. D20. Okay, so she bolts from the back of the horse, so you can jump onto the hobgoblin if you choose, or you can jump to land in front of him. Your choice, which would you like to do? Okay, so then that would create an overbearing attack. You'll still be able to attack with your daggers, but it would create an overbearing attack, as you basically may knock him down or whatever like that. So for that, you want to roll percentile dice, and you want to roll a high number. Higher than that. Not very good. How much do you weigh? Heavy sack of tools.
Perhaps you'd like to write for Low Moon Adventures. The Prince Albert series on Kindle is a short story series where you can write your own based on our prompts and donate them or donate half their profit to the ministry.
Okay, so basically what happens is you leap off of the horse, he staggers slightly back as you're coming in on him, and he tries to like swat at you with the bow, which is clearly an improvised weapon. And you wind up, you're now like, your hand is on, he's got long hair and a high collar, and your hand is on his hair and collar, and you have your dagger in your hand, but it's on his neck, so you can't really use it unless you've got to like push yourself off of him. He does not fall over. He bears your weight pretty easily. But your other hand is free to attack.
Try to aim for the neck.
Okay, roll the hit. D20. Okay. Are you doing any electricity with it? Okay. I'm going to roll your dagger damage. D4. Plus one. So basically what happens is she leaps off the back of the horse, throws the bow down, leaps off the back of the horse, she jumps on a guy. Clear that she like looks like she's trying to knock him down, but he doesn't go down. He's strong enough to hold her weight. And then she's holding on to him and she just stabs him with the dagger and the electricity plays over him and the two of them go down to the ground. Okay? He is still glowing with a violet hue, but he does not appear to be breathing. Okay? And you're standing basically on top of him. Right? Meanwhile, you also charge into the tree line. There are hobgoblins there. If you wanted to, you could take a shot on the way up. Okay, you know, you're ahead. It is charged, considered charging, so it does double damage.
Okay.
58.
17.
Very promising. Definitely ahead.
Oh, sorry.
So, Purge, Gentleman's slicing the dagger. That's good. Okay. And then, Spearhead. He spins away from you, bounces off the tree, and goes down. You think he's dead, but you're not sure. Chiron already killed one this round. Both are already went off. Alright. So basically they fired on you from the tree line. You guys were in the open. And then Chiron and her decided to charge them. You had her on the back of your horse. He went to the right. Used some kind of magical arrow that lift the area up pretty good so you could see where the hobgoblins were at. And then you didn't see the dove come down, but you did see that the guy that she just was hit was glowing purple. Okay? Alright. You have landed and transformed, and you do see that there are three hobgoblins that are kind of watching. They have composite longbows, but they were not using them. They were not at the tree line. Yes, two of them would be. So as you're coming up behind them, you see that one of them, who seems to be the tallest of the three, shoves the smallest of the three in his right, which is also your right because you're coming up behind him, so to his right, and then he like backs away and he's pleading. Do you speak hobgoblin? Okay, anyway, so you get the gist of it that he's pleading with them not to go or not to be sent or whatever, but it's clear that he is being sent, and so then he is, as you're moving into position that round, he is here, yeah. Okay, so as we end the round, Herrick and Chiron still on horseback, you have entered the trees, you're in and amongst the hobgoblins. You've dismounted and standing to the left. They're scattered along the tree line over about a 30-foot area. So, like, if you break one direction, you'll be able to... There's six or eight or ten of them in that direction, whichever way you choose to go. She's to your left, he's to your right. But she's not mounted. Okay. A Sturd stopped out in the middle of the open, dropped down, kind of got to one knee and fired his arrows, and kind of lit up the area, which basically is an arrow that was still, like, shooting sparks and letting up it. Not quite torchlight, but a bright white light. Okay. And then you now see, directly ahead of you, about 30 yards uphill, three hobgoblins that were kind of like overseeing the activity, they're probably the command group, basically. And now one of them, the smallest one, is taking off to the left. It's running. Toward the village. Mind you, it's a couple miles, but...
Which would be towards the forces surrounding the village.
Yeah. It's probably going to... Salient, yeah. So if you're still on horseback, you probably wouldn't have any trouble riding him down. Unless the reinforcements are pretty close, even over several minutes.
How far are you going to catch him?
You would catch him this round if that's what you decided to do, but you wouldn't be able to fight the rest of the hobgoblins.
That's true.
Okay, so we're rolling initiative. You can make a line for sure. Missile fire, 9, 8, 7, 6, 7. Okay, missile fire 7. You can see that your friends have engaged them at the tree line. You can pick out a couple of targets that are not in melee. So, they may have cover from trees, but it's not complete. Okay, go ahead. Okay. 19 hits, 5 does not. Remember, you are considered to be at medium range right now.
So, no cost of damage, but you're at 30%.
Yeah, that's just a problem. The damage isn't going to be the problem, it's the hitting that's going to be the problem, because medium range is a minus 2 hit. So, and you still hit with 18 or whatever you said it is. Yeah, it offset that, yeah. Anyway, you used to definitely hit with the 18, but miss with the 5. Okay, plus the bow is 2, it's total 4. Hold on, checking, check cover for him. And cover does not protect him. So the shot comes in, hits him in the side of the head or neck right at where like the jawbone, and he spins around the tree and drops. So you think he's dead, but...
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.